It's time for the True Sports Card Show.
The only one-hour radio show that gives you the very latest in sports memorabilia news from around the world.
Here are your hosts, industry expert Imran Palladi and Sactown Sports 49ers insider Emil Fragoso.
Good morning, everybody. It's Imran Palladi along with my co-host Emil Fragoso here on the Sactown Sports 1140 True Sports Card Show. This rainy Saturday morning, March 30th. Good morning to you.
Hi, guys. How's everyone going today? Everyone doing? Going? I don't know.
How's everybody going? You're off to a blazing start.
Blazing start for me.
Nate behind the window. Good morning, Nate. Thank you for getting it started with the goat scream. Nate just walked in here a few minutes ago holding a cup of, I believe, coffee.
We hope.
Maybe. It's a thermos of something.
Undisclosed liquid. I don't share all my secrets.
Thank goodness you don't.
It's Paulo Costa's secret juice.
I'm not on video, guys. You guys are.
Good morning to you all. If you want to catch us on YouTube, you can go to Sactown Sports 1140's YouTube channel. You can see us there. You can also go to True Sports Card's YouTube channel. Follow us there. Be sure to like and subscribe. Follow us there. Also, we are on Instagram. I need to bump up my follower count. So go to True Sports Card's, one word, no underscores. We locked that up. True Sports Cards.
Good for you. Sorry.
Oh, and we also have a new Instagram, True Galleria, T-R-U-E, Galleria. So that's one for our Roseville Galleria shop.
True Galleria.
That's right.
Double IGs. Look at you.
Double IGs.
You know who keeps popping up on my recommendations on Instagram?
Let's pause for a second. Let's really rethink what you're about to say before you say, who pops up on your Instagram?
Beckett.
My son.
Your son. Yes.
That kid posts way too much.
Yeah, what is up with that?
Like, dude.
That dude.
He's up. We get it.
Yes. Yeah.
He's crawling. We get it.
He's running now. For a 19-month-old, that kid posts way too much. I'm like, dude, stop sharing. Uh-huh. Stop sharing. Well, good morning to you all. I hope you're having a great week. I'll tell you who was not having a great week was Kevin Herter.
Nope.
As I mentioned on the Carmichael Dave Show on Tuesday, I was on. And unfortunately, Kevin Herter of the Sacramento Kings had season-ending surgery, or is about to have season-ending surgery on his torn labrum that he injured while playing against the Grizzlies. Desmond Bane with the swipe, which ended up hitting his arm, which ended up dislocating his shoulder, which ended up tearing his labrum.
Yeah.
And so our autograph signing that was scheduled for today, if you were planning on coming out to it, I informed everybody that had a ticket via email or phone call on Wednesday and Thursday that today's signing would be postponed, if not canceled altogether. And so if you are planning on going to the Galleria today to get an autograph by Kevin Herter, today is not the day that's going to happen. Now, I talked to Kevin's agent a couple of days ago before the announcement of him getting surgery. I had already known that he was going to surgery, but I couldn't say anything, obviously, because it's breaking news and it's not my spot to say it. It was my spot to tell people that he wasn't going to be there. So we are trying to have him come to the May Autograph Expo that we'll have May 17th through 19th. So we'll do what we can about getting confirmation that he'll be able to be there. But I am aware that he is going to be doing his rehab here in Sacramento area, and he's not going to be flying back home to New York. He's going to be doing it here for the most part. So speedy recovery, Kevin.
I mean,
we're feeling the results from not having a Kevin Herter. No matter how you felt about his shooting this year, yes, he is down about 5 points from where he was last year.
Mm-hmm.
His shooting percentage is down. He was going through slumps here and there. But defensively, or just another body, we are, you know, in a position to where we're, as a Kings organization, not thrilled about the bench.
No.
And we were talking about that pre-show. Emil, let's talk about last night's loss.
Yeah.
Yet another one that was... I think we lost it in the clutches of a win or whatever, however the description is.
Yeah, I mean, it was ours to lose, you know, going into the fourth quarter, up 10, it felt like, for a good portion of that. And yet, you know, when it comes down to it, you're not hitting your clutch shots, you're committing costly turnovers. There was one play in particular where Kessler Edwards and Keon couldn't, you know, figure out the handoff. And they're jogging back, giggling about, oh, my bad. Not the greatest look when you end up blowing that game and Kyrie Irving comes back and does Kyrie Irving things. And it's unfortunate now because the Kings are now theoretically going to be in the play, and it looks like with Dallas having a good foothold on the sixth seed.
We got 9 games left.
Yeah, about 9 games left, and currently Dallas is 44-29. Kings are 42-31. They are 2 games out of the sixth seed now, and you want to get that 7, obviously, that 7-8 if we are the play-in. You want to have the first game be a home game, but not ideal for a team who's already down Kevin Huerter and now down Malik Monk.
Do me a favor, Emil. If you could pull up the Kings schedule remaining for the next 9 games, I'm going to be at the game tomorrow versus the Jazz. These are critical games for the Kings to be winning in order for us to be positioned. You have the schedule up?
Yeah. Yes.
Do any Lakers, or I know we're done with Dallas, any of the play-in or Rockets games?
We do. We have a game against the Suns, second to last.
Okay.
Friday, April 12th. It is going to be at Golden 1 Center. It will be here in Sacramento. Pivotal game that one will be.
Okay. Any other Lakers games or Warriors games?
Lakers and Warriors, no, but we do have the Clippers after the Jazz as well against, in terms of Western Conference teams. It's a tough slate. We got the Thunder still. We got the Pelicans still. We got the Celtics on the other side. It's going to be an East Coast trip. With the Knicks as well. I mean, we got a couple tough games coming up, and so it's going to be a really tough stretch down the run here, and hopefully we can secure that play-in, but it's going to be hard to do without 2 pivotal players, potentially.
Yep, that's what Tay says in the YouTube chat. He says, too many turnovers, that is correct. Now, Malik Monk went down last night, too.
Yeah.
And that's our guy. He's been playing a little off lately. I wouldn't say bad, not at all, but he's been a little off.
A little slump the last couple games.
Yeah, and I didn't get to see the game at the beginning. I was doing some stuff at the shop last night, and the game starts right around when we're closing up shop. So I'm kind of closing up the shop, and then Pete, who is one of our team members, screams out, "Oh, man, Monk!" And I was like, "What's going on?"
Yeah.
Seeing Luka falling on his leg. Any word on what's going on with Monk yet?
Yeah, it's revealed, I believe, by Sham Sharani of The Athletic. It's a sprained MCL, which, as we know, Trey Lyles is also dealing with a sprained MCL and has been out since I believe March 12th, if I'm correct. If not, the dates are off on that one. But he's been out for an extended period of time, so hoping for the best with Malik Monk, hoping it's a minor sprain. I heard he was in good spirits last night, but that's still another injury knock to look at with this roster. It's already devoid of bench depth with Huerter out.
CBS Sports is saying Monk is feared to have suffered a sprained
yep.
MCL.
Yep.
And they're describing it as serious knee injury suspected. So here we are.
Yeah.
We're now again at a position to where the Kings, and I think this exposes a really weak bench.
It does.
I'm looking at it right now, and when you move Keon into the starting lineup in case of, because of Huerter, you got a really weak bench. You got Davion, Len,
Kessler
Edwards. I mean, it's just not a thrilling bench for sure. So I had made a suggestion, Emil and I were talking pre-show, and I said, move Keon out of the starting lineup and into the Monk role, bring Kessler Edwards into the starting lineup, so that way the Kings, I mean, you have 4 scorers or potential scorers for the Kings with Kessler Edwards. You don't have to worry about him scoring, and then you could bring Keon off the bench for energy and that Monk role of being able to score some points on the way in.
Yeah, and they need that spark plug off the bench in that 6, man. That's what Monk was so great. I know he didn't like coming off the bench. Obviously, we had saw that Anthony Slater interview, but Monk was such a pivotal part of that bench group and, you know, giving that spark off the bench, then becoming the closer. Keon being put into that role does make sense. I do like the suggestion. I just worry a little bit about Kessler Edwards and that last night his 3-pointing was a little bit of a mirage. I'm hoping that it was not.
He's not going to be like that, but
I'm just hopeful that he can hit 2 a game. That's really, can you just hit the open 3s, please?
I'd rather him stop 2 a game, you know what I mean? That's the same plus minus.
We know what he brings defensively. He needs to be able to not be the left open guy that they don't like for example, we left Dante Exum open 3 times last night in a row. He missed the first 2 but hit the 3rd one, which was a clutch 3. Can you hit the one that matters the most? That's what I'm asking with Kessler.
Sabonis 36 minutes, Barnes 40, Murray 35, De'Aaron Fox 40. These guys are barely coming out. They're exhausted at the end of the game because the bench is so weak. You had Monk with 1 minute, Dorte with 7, Kessler Edwards with 11, Len with 12, Mitchell with 19. I don't know why Mike Brown is not playing JaVale. JaVale needs some minutes to kind of offset.
It's like a Tom Thibodeau team right now.
I don't know what's just going on.
Running all the minutes up.
It's really frustrating to watch this team. 107-103, Mavericks beat the Kings last night. How does this affect the market? Well, I'll tell you that it doesn't affect the high-end market. Pete, again, who works at our shop,
yeah,
purchased a a De'Aaron Fox 2017 Prism gold card. This rookie. And it was graded by Beckett with a grade of 8.5. So the subgrades were 8.5 on three of them, and with the surface, it got a 10. So it's not my business to tell you what Pete paid for it, but I will tell you that Pete bought it less than 3 weeks ago, took it to the Burbank show, I believe, or where was it? No, he took it to the San Francisco show to get it graded on a rush. It came back, and he sold it last night. He sold it last night for, and I have permission to tell you, sold that gold card, numbered out of 10, BGS 8.5, for $8,000. And it was a nice profit, and that doesn't... Now, current games aside, when you have an iconic card like a gold prism, numbered out of 10, and you have it of the franchise player in the city that you are in, it's going to sell. And it's sold locally, and very happy for Pete, and very happy for the new owner of this card.
The buyer, yeah.
Yep, absolutely. It's a big pull, and I'm really happy for
that. One of a kind card, well, one of 10 card, I should say, but it's still an amazing grail card to have for any Kings collector, and shout out to the buyer as well.
Yep, and you said that there's the 101.
There is, I believe the 101 is out there on eBay. I believe I have it on my watch list. I think it's listed for about $40,000. So that price of 8 is about right for a card like that.
There you go. Okay, so we know that Herter is out. We know that the Kings are in the play-in mix. With the exception of the Houston Rockets, everybody else in the Western Conference is out. So unless the Kings really, really, really tumble, they're likely to be in the play-in. Unless they lose a bunch and then they get bounced and the Rockets continue winning. They're now 11 wins in a row.
Hottest team in March.
Yep. Unbelievable what the Rockets are doing. The fearful team right now should be the Warriors. Draymond is likely to be suspended one more time for maybe a game.
We sure?
Yeah.
We sure?
Well, I don't know how many technicals he has. I think the only reason he hasn't gone through the technicals threshold is because he's been suspended so long from the previous ones that he didn't have enough games to do technicals.
It was so bizarre. That moment was so bizarre this week.
And watching Curry just exasperated. Just be like,
start crying.
Done.
I mean, I've never seen
crying,
it.
Right?
He was actually crying. Yeah. And then Draymond gave us the villain meme, which is great, where he's hugging Curry and smiling menacingly at the camera for some reason after the game. Draymond. He's Draymond. That's all I got. That's all I got with Draymond.
When you have to say it's Draymond being Draymond or it's this person's name being that person's name, that's a problem. Just sucks.
It's, I don't know, I call him Alcatraz Green. It's okay.
What's that mean?
Because he, you know, puts people in, you know, he stomped out Sabonis and he needed to go to Alcatraz because he needs to serve sentences. I don't know.
If I were you, collectors, I'm not a, you should buy this and you should sell that.
Uh-oh.
But I'll give you some, today's episode, today's radio show, it's really going to feature a lot of, like, what should you do with some of this stuff? And as a card shop owner, obviously I put myself in a position to where I'm like, oh, great. I have to shill everything by saying that this guy's the greatest thing since sliced bread, so that way I can sell all of his cards. Sometimes you just got to face the truth. Here's where we're at. I think that this is the last stand, the last dance version of the Warriors that they're made. The way they're comprised.
The Dynasty Warriors, yep.
Yeah, I don't think Klay comes back.
No.
I think Klay is going to say, pay me my money. I've done so much. I've sacrificed so much. And he's going to want probably somewhere in the $35 to $40 million a year.
He wants Draymond's contract.
Yep. And Lacob was, the owner of the Warriors, Joe Lacob, was fine with paying that as they were continually being a perennial championship contender team. I mean, they won 2 years ago. So it's like they're not too far off. But the team is old. They don't have the roster, that middle-aged, you know, mid-20s roster to get them past this hump. Klay is not as good as he used to be. Paul is – I even forgot he was on the team until I just said it.
Well, he's been out for a long time.
Yeah,
so
it's just, you know, Paul is going to be –
he's the sixth man. He's the veteran, you know, point guard. He's still Chris Paul. He still has that knack to him.
Making $40 million a year, averaging 8 points a game and 7 assists.
I get it. It's still right. Old man Chris Paul.
And then if you take away Curry, what is the draw of signing there? Sure, it's the legacy, et cetera, but like cap space just isn't like it used to be to where it's like, well, if we free up some cap space, we'll pay for somebody else. Like the players are very, very in tune with where they want to play now and who they want to play with.
Yeah.
And people, I mean, there's been multiple times that people want to play with LeBron and they take massive haircuts financially. They go play with LeBron and then he talks about how they need to trade and get better players. Like,
why'd I sign
with you, man? You make me feel like crap that I signed with you. I took a haircut to play with you. And now you're talking about how we need to better the roster. So I think people are not drawn to specific team members like they used to be.
Yeah.
You know, like, who wants to play with LeBron right now, really? I mean, he's 38. He's angling to play with his son. He's probably going to put you on blast.
He's angling to own a team in Vegas. That's what he's really angling for. He will own that
team. He will. And so we're really kind of just thinking about, like, what does this mean for the Warriors? So with that said, I think it's time to sell your Klay Thompsons. If you can unload them, I would sell your Klay Thompsons. Mm-hmm. I think that Curry is at that GOAT status level. I think he's probably top 13, 14 all time. Yeah.
He's the greatest shooter ever.
But I'm saying, like, just overall.
Some people have Curry in the top five. There's a variance. I've had this discussion with a lot of other people about certain players.
That's just recency bias, people being a little bit too excited.
I mean, how many players, though, you could say revolutionized the game of basketball? And that's what Curry stands for. Exactly.
10.
That's why I have him in the 10-ish range.
Chamberlain, Mikan,
LeBron, Jordan. Curry. Curry 100% revolutionized
the
game of basketball.
Dr. J through the 70s.
Yeah. But those are the guys we're talking about. So the echelon of variance of 5 to 13, that range, though, of all-time greats makes sense.
So I think Curry has now moved into mutual funds. I always describe them in the state of, like, a stock.
Yes.
I think that Curry is now mutual funds. Mm-hmm. He can do no wrong at this point, no matter what happens. If he never wins another championship, he'll be fine.
His legacy is established.
Yeah, it's established. And for those that have been asking for Curry autograph cards, it's really interesting because one of the most underpriced assets in sports cards is Leaf cards. Yes. And I'm not joking. I'm being dead serious. We sold a Curry Leaf autograph product. It was him and Chris Mullen. They were sticker autos on a card, and they were numbered to like 10. Mm-hmm. I sold it for $350.
That's cheap.
So it's cheap in relation to the Curry market. If you were to get a Panini autograph Curry card, you'd be paying upwards of $800 or so.
Yeah.
So you can get, I like to call it mispriced asset. I think that, or underpriced asset. I think that Leaf really has done a good job as far as getting affordable autographs of players that are genuinely authentic mm-hmm. out in the world. Here's an interesting video that you may want to watch on YouTube. There's a video by Card Collector 2, Ryan, who went to the Leaf factory to show where they package their Leaf cards. Have you seen this?
I have not.
Oh, it's awesome. So he goes there and he kind of goes with, I want VP or president or whoever it is of Leaf.
Sure.
And they're walking around. And they're walking around the facility and it's not what you think it is. It's literally like a big warehouse empty with lots of plastic folding tables. I'm not joking.
Interesting.
Okay. So what happens is every box is hand collated, meaning that every box that Leaf makes, whether it's ProSet, whether it's Leaf, whether it's Trinity, any of their subproducts, mm-hmm. there's a human who loads that particular box and then seals it. So what happens is that you look and you're not going to get skunked like a Panini box with, I use this and I apologize to the customer that came into my shop that opened this box, but they opened a box of 2022 hobby Prism football. Like $950 for the box.
Oh, boy.
And the two autos were Rex Ryan and Panini Points. And I had to hug the guy. Like, I'm so sorry, man. This doesn't happen in Leaf. Because what they're doing is they're loading the boxes up and saying, all right, let's put the Curry auto here, but we'll give them slightly less value in the mem.
Yeah.
Or, you know what? This is a 1-on-1 Barry Sanders mem game used. Let's put that in there, but let's go light on the auto. So it kind of... They scale it to where you feel like you're getting value in the box, no matter what, based on that price point.
And that's appreciated as the collector.
For sure.
As a collector, it is.
For sure. So if you're out there, give it a look. Take a look and see the Card Collector 2's video on YouTube about going to the Leaf factory to see what that looks like. They had like a box. It was like a 3,200 count box of Leaf signed Messi auto.
Oh.
Autos with fat jersey patches.
Nice.
And all the patches were game used. Sick. And they're loading those boxes up in the Trinity Soccer.
That's
they're putting
so cool.
a Messi here, and then they'll have a Holland jersey card, and then they'll have a Pele signature on this one, and they'll have a Messi jersey only in this one. So they loaded that thing up in the sense of really like having equitable boxes instead of just overloading the heck out of one.
So what you're saying is that Leaf is the go-to.
I would say that. I'm saying if you want affordable options and you want a Curry auto, Leaf is the way to go. The rest of the Warriors there, I think, what's our guy's name? Brandon what?
Pajemski.
Pajemski. He's fairly hot. He sells pretty well in our store, in our shop.
The big one right now, though, is Kuminga.
I would agree.
Kuminga's selling really well right now. Kuminga's really had a nice fourth-year leap. Fourth year, yeah. Yeah.
Well, he's same year as...
Cade, third year.
Third year.
Yeah, third year. Really nice third-year leap, as well as Trace Jackson Davis also playing really well. So they have some nice rookies as well, some nice younger players to go into the next phase of Warriors basketball. And again, they're trying to marry the two sides, and it hasn't really worked out for them. So we'll see what happens this offseason.
Well, I will tell you that that leads to a couple of things that we got going on as far as new product that has come out or is about to come out. So this past week, we had a few things come out. Yesterday, I got a case of 23-24 Panini Prism Fast Break.
Oh.
That's the light version of the hobby boxes.
Yeah.
As we know, Wemby is as hot as can be. We're going to stay talking basketball here for a few minutes.
Hotter than fish grease.
We're going to talk on the backside of this show about baseball. So let's finish our conversation in regards to basketball. So with basketball, we've seen this fast break come out. Let me see what the price is on that. Dead air. Nothing like dead air.
Nothing like dead air.
Go ahead, Emil. Can you give that a look? And
I got
us?
It right
okay,
now.
Okay, what do you got for price? I haven't put it on the shelf yet, so...
You haven't even put it on the shelf
no,
yet?
No, we just got it yesterday. Okay. So I want to say it's like $525 a box.
Yeah, it's about that, yes.
About $525 bucks. Yeah. Is it one guaranteed auto?
Yes.
What
yes,
else is in that?
Yes. I'm just scrolling through it right now because I'm looking at the original. I believe one guaranteed auto, 12, I believe, prism parallels, as well as a couple numbered cards as well. I don't know the exact number on the numbered, but it varies per box.
For those of you that wanted to have an idea of getting some options at Prism and trying to get a Wemby, this is about a half price option. Right now, the boxes of Prism Hobby Basketball are going for about $1,100. And I really like an option that's an affordable option for them. I also loaded up. I have 28 mega boxes of Prism sitting at my store and ready for them to purchase. They've been flying off the shelves because they're just under $100.
And I've seen a couple hot boxes, actually.
Yeah. So there's that. We have blasters. Those of you that haven't come by the shop, I just want to share with you, we've kind of revamped the way that it looks. So we moved a lot of our memorabilia over to the mall, to our Galleria shop. And so we have a lot of mem over there. But what we did was when we removed the mem, we had an entire wall that was empty. So what we decided to do, our manager, Shep, who's usually on the show, we racked up a lot of the retail products. So blasters, megas, that kind of stuff is on our wall. So we have hobby on one side, meaning all the more expensive, high-risk, high-reward boxes. And then on the other side, we have low-risk, low-reward, but an affordable option for those that want to get into some of the products like Prism or Illusion. Stuff
I like that, though.
Yeah. And what we've noticed is that we have a lot of people now being able to come in and say, oh, $1,100 for a box of hobby Prism basketball? This is crazy.
It's crazy.
But over here, around $50 or so, I can get a blaster box of Prism and still have a fun chance of getting
it.
So
it's about ripping. It's still a fun rip,
right?
Yeah.
I want to be able to do that. Yeah. So that option came in. We also have a lot of Illusions football. Illusions football came out in the last 7 days. I don't have that pricing in front of me. I probably should have that kind of stuff. But Illusions football is an option. We also have that in megas and in blasters. That just came out as well. All right. What is on the horizon? This week coming up, first of all, the shop will be closed tomorrow for Easter. Happy Easter to those of you that celebrate. We'll be taking the day off, both at both locations, the mall as well as the regular card shop.
You're giving Pete a day off?
No, Pete's working, but the shop will be closed.
I see.
And so both locations will be closed. I believe the entire mall will be closed too.
Yeah.
And on Monday when we return, the releases really start happening on Wednesday the 3rd.
It's a big April.
Yeah, huge April.
It's a big April.
An expensive April for me.
For me too.
Yeah. So let's look and see what's coming out. One of the big releases of the year for football is Immaculate Football Hobby.
Yeah.
Right around $1,400 to $1,500 a box. Emil, go through some of the details, please.
Yeah, inside the box, first of configuration, it is one pack per box, six cards total. So very much risk it for the biscuit. Five autos or mem, one base or parallel card. That is what's inside of the box. Obviously, the big, big hits inside of Immaculate are massive, including dual NFL shields, Hall of Fame jerseys, and rookie logos.
So with that said, the hot person that you wanted at 23 is who?
C.J. Stroud.
That's correct. And you're going to get how many autos of C.J. Stroud as a possibility?
Five autos or mem.
Zero. Zero. C.J. Stroud.
Good. Correct. I just failed the task right there.
Although, you know, C.J. Stroud's going to be hot no matter what.
Yeah.
Formation of, it's not even a, it's an RP, not RPA.
However, the NFL shield one of one for Stroud, that's going to be hot.
Still there.
Yeah.
It'll be an Immaculate, I believe. There should be one in Flawless as well. Mm-hmm. Hot product. You still have Anthony Richardson as a possibility for the signatures.
A-Rich's market's crazy
it's
right
nuts.
Now.
Yeah.
Crazy.
We watched a Anthony Richardson PSA 10 downtown that we had.
Yeah.
We had it in our case for $1,350. And then a comp came out for $1,600 just a couple days ago. So we're like, oh, we better change this.
I saw one sell for even more.
Yeah.
His market's crazy, and I get it. A-Rich has had a really solid, you know, rookie season before he got hurt, and then now he comes into year two. Really likable guy, too.
Strangely enough, why does a player go up in value? Sometimes the circumstances around him. Gardner Minshew signs with the Raiders. He was the starter after Anthony went down last year.
Yeah.
Played very well, brought them to the brink of the playoffs, or just into the playoffs.
Very close to the playoffs. Yep.
And so when you have a guy that was pushing your job now go somewhere else, and then you end up with somebody that's a for sure backup.
Joe Flacco.
Is it Flacco as his backup?
Yeah.
Poor Flacco. Just go back to the couch.
No.
Maybe
what do you mean? I get paid millions of dollars to be a backup?
That's
awesome.
That's where, easy for me to say. It's not my millions.
Awesome. Cool.
Yeah, you think about this. It's like, that's where Colts quarterbacks are where you go to.
The dive.
Right before you get into the retirement home.
Where they get shot.
Matt Ryan. Carson Wentz. Who else? Oh, now it's Flacco.
Flacco. We thought Gardner could be one of them, but Gardner
Phillip Rivers was supposed to be there.
Phillip Rivers. Sam Ehlinger. Yeah. He's still there somehow.
Hey, Colin Kaepernick, you still have a chance.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. So
careful now.
So we've got that product. The next product I want to talk about is 2023 Panini Impeccable WWE Wrestling.
Wrestling?
I love it. As everybody knows, and I've spent many a minutes on this show, I love my wrestling.
Did you watch any of last night's episode of SmackDown?
I missed it.
Oh, Jade Cargill looked
unbelievable. I did see her promo. She came into the ring talking about how we have the best roster in the WWE for as far as women, but
yeah.
But they're not her.
Yeah.
And a storm is coming.
And then she came out to help Naomi and
I didn't see that part.
Oh yeah, at the end, Damage Control was attacking Bianca Belair after Bianca pinned, I believe it was Kairi Sane, and they attacked her afterwards. Naomi came out, then got ambushed by all three. Then Jade came out, and you know how usually they run to the ring to help out? Jade came out and just walked. She just stared at them and just walked with the slowest pace possible, walked in. Super kicked Asuka and then powerbombed Dakota Kai to infinity and looked like superhero. She really looked like a superhero. So Jade Cargill, one to watch in products in the future as
for
well.
Sure. And we all know that those of you that watched, I think we've gone down to about one-tenth the audience because we're talking about wrestling, but let's stick with it.
I'm going to keep talking wrestling.
I will tell you that it's pretty clear that Bayley's going to win.
Yeah.
Bayley is going to win the championship against Io Sky. Mm-hmm. Io Sky has been a lame duck champion. What I hate about some of these wrestling storylines is that the champion that's a heel always ends up like having to cheat their way to win.
Yeah.
Everything's a dusty finish, as they call it.
Can we just win fairly? Yeah. That's my big issue with Roman Reigns.
Just Yeah, just win.
It's my big issue with Roman. Like, that's why I like Gunther a lot, because he actually is a heel champion for the Intercontinental Champion, but wins fair and square one-on-one because he is that guy.
Who's this?
Gunther?
Yes, he is. He's awesome. And he's like, I'll take you on. No
he
problem.
Has remade the Intercontinental Championship from being irrelevant to relevant again.
Well, you can tell he's going to lose, too.
Yes.
He's going to lose because he's going to be going into the championship picture.
In the heavyweight or
into, the real belts. Although the Intercontinental belt, who's he fighting? Sami Zayn?
Yes.
Who's been, they really mishandled his storyline.
After the Bloodline stuff, he's been a little over the place. Yeah.
So wrestling, impeccable wrestling. What do you get for $1,000?
Yeah, for $1,000, it is, again, one pack per box, 9 cards per pack, so risk it for the biscuit. But 5 autos.
You're going to say that at every box, aren't you?
Not every box that has one pack in it is very much risky for the, because you could get skunked. We just talked about this with Panini and Leaf. You can get skunked. I've gotten skunked. Other people have gotten skunked. It happens. 5 autos, 1 unique insert. That's actually the correct term. 1 unique insert, 3 base or parallels in your 9 cards per pack per box. But 5 autos is nice. On-card autos, I should say.
Lamb says that JBL versus John Cena in WrestleMania 21 was one of his go-tos.
Nice.
I love that.
Nice, Tin. Appreciate you, Tin.
So, I just love my wrestling. I think it's a great product. It's probably, I think it's the highest product that's out there. I'm trying to think if there's anything above that. I think
it's beautiful. And if you like metal cards, this is the product for you.
They have really thick cards in this stuff.
They do. Get you 130, 155 top loaders going. Oh, yeah.
Let's go back to basketball. 23-24 Origins basketball, roughly about $400 a box. Mm-hmm. Emil, you have that up?
Yes.
Tell us about Origins basketball.
7 cards per pack, 1 pack per box. I'm not going to say it again this time.
It's not that risky. Well,
hey, look, anytime it's 1 pack, it's risky.
Okay.
Just saying.
Fair.
It gets risky. It gets dicey. 1 auto, 1 other auto or mem, 2 parallels, and 1 insert. That's the breakdown on Origins basketball for this year. And Origins is a... How do you describe Origins?
I like it because it's usually on card autos.
Yes.
They're hard to grade because, again, any time that the player actually has to physically hold the card in order to sign it,
mm-hmm.
there's always a risk of quality control because you don't know if the handler that's there with the player mm-hmm. is caring for the cards as much as you would want to have it cared for as a end customer.
We all saw the Tom Brady slide.
Ugh. What's worse is watch the Lawrence Taylor slide on Flawless.
Oh, that's bad.
He was at a signing in Chicago. At the Sports Spectacular. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times while they're there, Panini will send the products to their agent to say, okay, get this done while you're there with Lawrence Taylor in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Legit, man. It was on a wood table.
Oh.
Not like a wood table, like smooth. Like one of those jagged ones that you pull out of catering.
Like a park bench?
That's like a balsa wood put to it, right? No cover.
No
on
mat.
No mat. No nothing. Oh, idiot. Man. And then LT is sitting there signing the stuff and just sliding it over this balsa wood table. And I'm like, dude, SGC 3, SGC 4, PSA 1. Definitely. Like, this is terrible. And then people get stuff graded and go, but I just pulled it out of the pack. I was like, yeah, after Lawrence Taylor and his agent used it as a cheese grater.
Yeah, I know.
What did you expect it to be like?
Ugh.
So.
Oh, don't get me started.
I said, let's not be on soapboxes, and then I just went on one.
I know.
Origins basketball, if you can get them, they usually have a darker border. It's full bleed edges to the back
mm-hmm.
before you get anything graded. Even if it came straight from the pack with your hands in latex gloves, take a look at the back.
Yep.
Make sure that you don't see any chipping before you send it off and then complain that.
With the bright light, make sure you really look at that stuff because it gets a little weird with surface. So
here's the final one that we'll talk about. It's 2023-24 Revolutions basketball, which Emil has a real problem with.
I have a problem with the price, but this is actually an OG. It's because I love it. This is the first high box I ever bought.
$250 a box. Emil, tell us the breakdown.
Yeah, $200 a box.
$250. I don't want to short it by 20%.
$250. 8 packs per box, 5 cards per pack. And the real kicker here in the box break, 4 rookies, 4 inserts, 8 parallels, no guaranteed auto.
Is that bad?
Yes. Yes. For the price point, yes.
Now, they have a lot of other stuff like cosmic, these subsets within
Galactic.
Galactic, Lava. There's a bunch of like numbered versions of the cards.
Toledo 101s are beautiful.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the cards look awesome. They have some sort of like galactic design. It's really cool. Mm-hmm. Some have stars, a lot of foil, a lot of shiny.
Yep.
They grade fairly well.
Yeah. They have two new things this year, the new Revolutionary insert, which is supposed to be a super short print, as well as the short print rookie variation short print insert, so a variation on the actual rookie cards. Are doing a variation this year, too.
Last year, it was $109. How come it's $250? Well, there's a dude named Victor who's absolutely crushing it.
Wembanana.
Wembanana last night went for 40 and 20.
And then threw Jalen Brunson's game ball into the crowd.
Is that what happened?
Yeah. He had 61 points. They still won the game. Victor threw that thing into the crowd and said, nope, you're not getting it.
Is that what happened? I thought he was just excited.
Maybe he was just excited, but he still threw the game ball into the crowd.
Bro, okay. So we were just talking about this. Who has been out there that's received hype that's actually exceeded the hype? I'm thinking about this. Nate's in the window. I don't know if he was listening or not. I'd love for him to chime in if he has an idea. Anybody who has lived up to past the hype, and this dude had massive hype before it. Maybe LeBron?
LeBron.
I mean, LeBron was, since he was a sophomore in high school, had huge hype. He was already on Sports Illustrated cover before he was even drafted.
Peyton Manning.
Would you say Peyton Manning had the hype?
I mean, number one.
That exceeded it?
Yeah, I'd say
he struggled that first year, too.
What a weird pick. That's interesting that you picked that. Not that it's wrong. I'm just
I was just thinking OG of top picks. Like high draft guys who ended up playing amazing.
Anthony Edwards? You say he exceeded the hype?
No, I think he hit it.
Okay.
I think he hit it. Wemby's like on an insane level.
Yeah.
40 and 20, and he's barely turned 20 years old in January. Like, this guy's unbelievable.
I mean, LeBron definitely exceeded the hype.
Yeah, LeBron. Yeah. Ohtani hit, I think Ohtani hit the hype. I mean, two MVPs is tough to say that he didn't exceed it, but like his injuries is what caused him to not be able to really go through a stratosphere.
Correct, yeah. Well, that and what's going on right now.
Any other football players I'm trying to think? I mean, not really.
He is like the one of the safest bets, I would say, right now in terms of investing.
When I was watching the highlights last night of Brunson scoring his 61, and he was just balling, right?
Balling.
But then you were watching them staying shot for shot with him, and you see Wemby. He hit a bottom of the screen, corner three. Okay.
He's 7'4".
7'4", hitting three-pointers. He did a pull-up three at the top of the key. Like, what are we watching here?
Very rarely do you have a player who every single game has 3 to 5, did that just happen moments? And Wemby does it like every single game where it's like, did he just do that? Like, he was able to extend his arm like Jordan in Space Jam and dunk from the free throw line on a drive and kick through three players.
Maybe that $1 million offer on that one of one PSA 10 was low.
It was.
I can't believe I'm saying that 2 weeks later. But watching this guy, this is unbelievable.
I'm holding all of Wembanyama stock unless I get an outrageous offer. That's just how confident I am in this guy. It's not, again, I don't know if you've listened to, I know me and you are fans of The Ringer. I don't know if you listened to Ryan Russillo's interview with Sean Elliott, the Spurs the Spurs announcer.
But I did not.
He was talking about Wemby and when they first kind of met him, and he goes, he's literally a 35-year-old in a 19-year-old body. Mm-hmm. The way he thinks and approaches basketball is so different than everyone else they meet. He's so professional at such a young age. And not only that, he's so competitive. Mm-hmm. He wants to wreck people. He wants to wreck the league. Obviously, that Rudy Gobert quote. This guy wants to be the face of the NBA and is ready for and up for the challenge. And it's really astonishing to see it.
I just can't think of any. I'm in here racking my brain. I just can't think of anyone. But you guys are always talking about with that $1 million card, how volatile this market is. You know, how just spikes up and down. Crazy. So I think 2 weeks for a million dollar card to go up to like, I don't know, 1.1, 1.2 is like, I mean, that's a 20% potentially.
Like right now, if you were to ask for a sale on the card, if you were the owner, which I don't know who the owner is, but it's not like he's hidden. He was on the YouTube videos when they were at PSA.
You don't know him personally.
Yeah. I don't know him personally, but I'm saying like, if he turned down a $1 million offer, rumored, and then all of a sudden a 40-20 game comes in and they won, like, today's a good day to ask for a, hey, how about 1.3?
1.5 is the lowest I'd go.
Really?
Honestly. It's a PSA 10. It's perfect. The card got graded a perfect grade. Whether you agree with it or not, PSA saw that card and graded a PSA 10.
Yeah.
That card is perfect.
Yeah, it's never leaving that house.
No.
Anyway, so the reason I brought that up is because 23-24 product is going to continue to do well. And there's a the second banana in this whole thing behind the Wemb banana is actually shaping up to be Amen Thompson.
Yeah, man.
We went through these numbers earlier. This guy's balling. He's 6'7", playing for the Rockets. They've now won 11 in a row, and he's balling. He scored 18 with 14 rebounds yesterday. The game before, he had 15 rebounds and 20-something points.
25 points. He can't shoot at all yet. He's 14% from three.
Is that good?
No. Okay. That's horrible.
That's better than my
He doesn't take threes, and yet he's still effective. Not only, and it comes back to, are you a good stats, bad team guy? No, he's making winning plays on both ends of the court as a rookie, and that means a lot to me.
Very DeMar DeRozan, sounds like, scoring a lot of twos.
He's faster than DeRozan. He's way quicker.
Well, I would hope so if he's like 15 years younger.
Well, even DeMar at his peak wasn't like, he wasn't a speed guy. DeMar was a precision guy. Amen's a speed guy.
This guy's, he's kicking ass. So yeah. I just want to make sure that
Big Amen. I'm investing in my Amen this offseason for sure.
And we all, and the people said,
Amen.
Amen.
on this holy week, I should say.
Third banana behind Wembanana and Amen Thompson is probably going to be Brandon Miller.
Yeah.
Brandon Miller's really doing well there in Charlotte. Hidden at the league pass, on the NBA league pass. So you never get to watch him. But I thought it was going to be Scoot Henderson, and Scoot's coming up a little bit, but not like
that. I don't know what you saw happen last night.
What happened?
The Miami Heat blew out the Portland Trailblazers by 60 points.
That's it?
And Scoot Henderson posted the worst ever plus-minus for a rookie.
Is it good?
Minus 58.
Is that good?
Good for bad. That's not good for good, but good for bad.
So when people hear plus-minus, what does that mean?
Plus-minus is kind of... It's hard to explain plus-minus to...
Well, you brought it up.
I know. It's hard to explain. It's kind of the impact you have on the court.
Minus 58, I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, it's minus 58. His impact was that bad.
So what that means is, like, he may have scored 20, which he did, but, like, there's other factors that... Like, he let his other guy score a bunch against him. Who scored a bunch against him? When you look at the Miami Heat, doesn't look like they added up a ton of points, but they did. Adebayo with 21, Mills with 17, Rozier with 22. Boy, they didn't even play...
Jimmy?
They didn't play Jimmy. Oh, yes, they did. Jimmy only had 8.
Jimmy's been weird this year.
Yeah. Hawkes had 12. Where's Duncan Robinson?
Thomas Bryant had 26 points.
No, who am I looking for? I'm looking for Hero. Where's Hero?
Hero's been out.
I need a Hero.
Hero's been out for a while. He's been out basically the whole season. It's honestly amazing what this team is doing with a subpar Jimmy year and Hero being out the whole year. Jaime has been a really good person for them, and Terry Rozier, after a tough adjustment initially with the Heat, he's really turned it on.
23-24 products is going to continue to stay up in value. We would love for you to come by the shop starting Wednesday. We'll look you to come every day, but Wednesday is when we're going to have some of these products, and we'd love to see you there. Okay, baseball.
Baseball.
Opening day is upon us. Nate, you can check out now because Nate does not watch baseball at whatsoever.
Whoa, I got one more hype guy. One more pick. I just went through the list.
I'm legit telling you guys that can't see Nate. I'm watching him. He's got a hoodie on, and the guy's just been kind of staring at the wall. And I bet you were thinking, who has lived up to the hype?
Maybe two, actually. John Elway.
In 84.
Or, yeah, 84.
He played for Stanford, and he played baseball. And the options were baseball or football, and the Baltimore Colts or the Colts wanted him or something like that. And then he said, "No, I'm not going to play for you. I'm going to go play baseball." So they didn't draft him, and ended up being the Broncos that picked him up.
And then Bo Jackson.
Bo out of Auburn was the baseball and Heisman winner as well. Came out the gate, and the one that I remember, and it's because I've been a Giants fan so long, but I was 12 years old, 1989. Bo Jackson hits a home run off of Rick Rushel in the All-Star game, and it went so far. I'll never forget it. It hit like the tarp part that was blocked off in the stadium, and then there were people like jumping on the tarp to go run and grab that baseball that hit the tarp. You watch it on YouTube. It's unbelievable. Another thing that Bo Jackson did, he threw out Harold Reynolds from, I want to say it was left field. So Harold Reynolds was playing for the Seattle Mariners at the time.
Yeah.
A ball goes, Bo picks up the ball and throws a laser from right field, left field, and hits him. I want to say it's left field. I'm just trying to remember.
I think it was left field.
Unbelievable. On the fly, and Harold Reynolds is a fast dude. He was running from first, tagged him out at home plate. Bo Jackson, just unbelievable. And by the way, I think you guys as 49ers experts and football experts, I believe they removed the tackle, the drop tackle.
The hip drop.
The hip drop tackle. Yeah. They removed it this season.
We don't like.
I hate it.
That's what That's what destroyed Bo's career.
I get it, but it's...
It's another, I mean, this is a tangent. We don't need to do this. It's another thing to, for the refs to control the game, well, I feel like. Another
any time that a game can potentially ruin somebody's life in the sense of, like, that tackle, the tackle that we're speaking of is coming from behind and basically dropping all of your weight to drag the person down, correct?
Yes.
Not a horse collar from the collar.
No, it's
just any time.
That's why it's called the hip drop. You're grabbing them
at the, around,
around
the
hips. Yeah.
And then just basically going dead weight.
Yeah, to try to trip up their feet. Yeah. I don't know. I used to play rugby, so you tackle like that sometimes. Just any way to get a guy down, really, that isn't just smash, because you can't just smack someone in rugby.
Right. But it basically displaces the person's hip.
But. I mean, it's the NFL. Like,
it's football.
There's give and take. I don't know. There's give and take.
It's football. Yeah. It's a dangerous sport. They know what they signed up for. And I feel like...
I signed up to be able to... Nobody thinks that at 26 years old, what they're going to be like at 60. If you ever want to see what somebody looks like at 60, go look at Joe Montana at a card show.
You're thinking like a normal guy,
I'm thinking
though.
Like a 46-year-old
yes,
person.
Yeah. You're thinking like a normal...
These
guys are like... These guys are, like, I don't want to say inhuman, but the way they're built is just, like, crazy. It's just they're superheroes, so it's
I don't have a ton of money, okay? I personally don't have a ton of money. I'm okay, but I would give up every dollar I had, short of my wife and my son, to go back 20 years and be 20 years and have this knowledge and no money whatsoever to go back 20 years because I could rebuild it. And knowing what I know now, I sure as heck would not want to put myself at risk, even if I was financially ahead. So when you think about this, these guys are making decisions at 23. You're 23. I bet you in 5 years you're going to be sitting there going, what was I thinking? Why did I do that?
I think that every day. Yeah, do that every day.
Nate, you're what, 25 or so?
I don't even know,
okay,
man.
You're 20-something. I'm telling you, when you guys are 40, your mindset's going to be different. Not that you're smarter. You just lived longer to know more. And as seeing these players and working with these players, I physically work with these players and, you know, sign autographs with them and take them to events. And I watch their daily grind of what they went through, the whole, like, smell salt, go back in there. This is football. I'm telling you, some of these guys regret massively some of the decisions that they made physically with their body.
That's not the game anymore, though. Like, we haven't seen the guys in this era at 60 years old, you know? We don't know what they're going to be like. We don't know what medicine's going to change. But I feel like that's a totally different conversation than the hip drop tackle is just, I think it's too vague. That's my issue. I think it's too vague of a rule. Another vague rule, like pass interference, where they try to define it, and there's just this gray line here that's too big. In between black and white, that messes up the game.
I don't think that's one of the bad rules. I think one of the bad rules is what's going on with the quarterback. The gently touch them.
Oh,
and
the
you're rubbing get,
the passer
yeah,
thing. Yeah,
that kind of stuff
too.
Is that's
well, that's
ridiculous.
Gone. I mean, that's you're grasping at straws there.
Right,
that's not
done.
Coming back. Yeah, and also for the record, all the headshots and stuff, I'm fine with trying to move away from that. But it's, I mean, you gotta give and take.
You know why they did this rule, right, Emron?
Tell me.
It wasn't always about – it's not – safety's part of it, sure. It's to get more points on the board. The NFL has noticed that the points have dropped off the last couple of years, gone down, I believe, from 27 to about 21 last year per game, per team, and they want to get more points. More offense means more viewership, more excitement, more Instagram moment plays.
Well, then don't back up the extra point to the 20-yard line. I love the, I want to say it's the XFL or one of the leagues. I just watched the kickoff, what they've done. Did you see it?
They moved that. The NFL, that's a new thing now.
But this is another league that's trying something new. It was awesome. So what happens is they have, we're supposed to be talking baseball, but let's just go for this because we're on a flow.
Yeah.
They have the guys lined up on a kickoff. Mm-hmm. They have the kick returner way, way in the back. They have the kicker coming up and kicking behind the line. So the guys are not taking a running start. The guys that are tackling and the guys that are defending the tackling on the kickoff are within 10 yards of each other.
Yes.
And nobody can move until after the receiver catches the ball.
Yes.
That's insane. It's so much better because nobody's getting a running start. Nobody's getting blasted. Nobody's, like, it's actually defending and tackling and blocking.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have the massive risk. Yeah. And you're actually going to get a run back versus these other, because the kicker is kicking 20 yards behind the line,
yeah,
where they're supposed to be kicking off from.
That's some breaking news for you.
And what?
That's coming to the NFL.
As of when?
As of this week. That was one of the rules they put in at the meetings.
That's for sure happening?
Yes. It's on a trial basis, but yes.
Oh, then they'll run that in preseason, but they won't run that regular season.
It's supposed to be in the regular season, too.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, they're bringing it to the
because
NFL.
Because then you're watching kickbacks. How many times do we know? 95%
it was a 29-3 vote by the NFL owners. The only three teams to not vote for it were, you guessed it, the 49ers, the Raiders, and I forget who else. Because the Niners have a whole strategy when it comes to kickoffs.
Let's finish today's show with baseball. We've got about 6 minutes. I will tell you that baseball started off nicely. The Giants won one, lost one. Matt Chapman hit two home runs yesterday.
What a nuke that was into the Brinks.
Unbelievable.
Oh, my gosh.
I love it. I love it. I love it. If the Giants can play right, let's hope that they get somewhere around 90 game wins. I'd be happy with that.
We'll see, man.
When you have the Dodgers doing what the Dodgers did spending-wise. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about were two prospects that we need to pay attention to in the game. One is in the MLB, and one is just outside of it. The first one is Wyatt Langford, 22 years old. Amazing part about this kid, he plays for the Rangers, defending World Series champions. This kid graduated, he played his last college baseball game. I believe he played for LSU. Played his last college baseball game 280-something days ago. And now he is in the majors, and he was in the opening day roster.
Yeah.
And he only played 44 games in the minors. His first game, he gets his first big league hit as well as his first RBI. He's 22 years old. This kid is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And super collectible. For those of you that were buying 2023 Bowman draft, chasing the Photoshopped Expos Tom Brady card, this Wyatt Langford rookie or Bowman's first is in this product. So it's real interesting because he's on opening day's roster, meaning this is his rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
And his rookie year means he has rookie of the year contender opportunity here.
Potential, absolutely.
Right. The second guy to pay attention to is Jackson Holliday. We all thought this kid for the Baltimore Orioles was going to be on the opening day roster. He did not make it. So what did he do in his first game in AAA? First at bat, smacks a lefty home run over the fence.
Pow!
This kid is unreal. Matt Holliday, the perennial all-star that played for both the A's and Rockies and Cardinals. It's his son. This kid looks like he's about, if you look at his face, he looks like he's about 16 years old.
He looks like a high schooler still.
Yeah, but his body, he's like,
he's ripped.
He's ripped. And this kid is unbelievable. Jackson Holliday, keep your eye on him. If you're investing in him, now's a good time to put that money behind Jackson Holliday.
Yep.
All right, don't forget, next week we'll be back. Enjoy your Easter. Thank you, Emil. Thank you, Nate, for being behind the window. Enjoy your Easter, everyone. Remember, True Sports Cards, both locations are closed tomorrow for Easter observance, but we'll be back to our regular hours on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll see you next week here on the True Sports Card Show on Sacktown Sports 1140.
Bye.